In this section of stanzas, the line that caught my attention is in stanza 45, where Herbert says, "I who am truth, turn into truth their deeds." Or as I put it in my freehand free verse, "I am truth who turns their deeds into truth." Herbert's got the word order in a way in such that helps the poetry, helps the rhythm, helps the rhyme, just to flip it around to realize that what he is saying is that Jesus takes these deeds of the soldiers, really the deeds of all sinners, and turns them into truth. But before we dive into that, would you turn to page 5 in the handout and hear the freehand free verse of these stanzas. "The soldiers lead me to their barracks. There they all tear me down with words, hours before they will take me down. Yet I could call down a complete set of 12 heavenly companies. Is there anybody out there with a grief like mine? Then they dress me up in a scarlet robe from the royal costume box, which actually points to my blood to be the only effective royal decree. A sweet wine I leave as a pleasant-tasting medicine for humanity's ills. Is there anybody out there with a grief like mine? On my head they smash a crown of thorns, for this is all that's left of Jerusalem's crop of grapes, even though I planted and watered her as my vineyard. Is there anybody out there with a grief like mine? Adam's fall cursed the ground to spring up with thorns and briars that now sit on my head. So I will carry this curse away from the earth on my own forehead, bearing the misery. Is there anybody out there with a grief like mine? Then they took back the plaything staff they gave me as if a kingly scepter. With it they struck my head, the head of the body, the rock from where all treasures of heavenly blessing flow eternally. Is there anybody out there with a grief like mine? They act out their sarcasm, bowing down, prostrate fall, saying, 'Hail, King,' and mustering all jeers and snarkiness, they spew it on all on me, the floor, the cesspool. Is there anybody out there with a grief like mine? Yet since humanity's scepters are flimsy plastic playthings, and all their crowns come with thorns, their clothing soaked in blood, I am truth who turns their deeds into truth. Is there anybody out there with a grief like mine? The soldiers take the opportunity to spit on my face, which angels have longed to have been gifted to know fully, and prophets waited to see, but were not given that opportunity. Is there anybody out there with a grief like mine? In all this costume, they bring me to the riotous crowd, who raise up their solidifying chant, 'Crucify him.' God keeps silent in the face of such humanity, and this man cries out, 'Is there anybody out there with a grief like mine?'" Jesus transforms their mocking into truth. I am truth who turns their deeds into truth. He transforms their mocking into truth. What the soldiers mean as insults, humiliation, are actually truth. They dress him up like a king, yet he is truly king, a king who will die for their cruel sin. It's like they're saying to Jesus, "No one is going to save you now." And Jesus, by his actions, proves them right, proves their words to be true. No one will save him, because the one who could save him has agreed that Jesus shall die in order to save his people. Herbert's stanzas here show us the depth of a scene that becomes so ordinary, normal. We keep going back and we think of the crucifixion, and there's this danger of it becoming normal, ordinary. Herbert takes the moments of the crucifixion and he brings out surprise connections to Scripture. He makes us to pause to look again at this heart-wrenching grand beauty of what is taking place on the cross. I've mentioned in previous weeks that the art of Herbert's poetry finds connections which may not be mentioned in the gospel narrative, yet Herbert draws these connections with other places in Scripture so that we are struck by the depth of the scene and the way that truth comes together in the cross. It comes together in ways that we didn't see at first. That's the art of his poetry. I compare it a little bit with some photos I put up in the narthex tonight that you can see on your way out. It's a series of five pictures that I took a number of years ago near St. Louis. I was playing with my phone camera, and it has that burst function where if you hold it down, it keeps taking a bunch of photos. And I was out in an arboretum, and the wind was blowing the field, and there was flowers in the field. And so I was just playing around with my camera, and I thought, well, if I hold down the burst while the flowers are going back and forth, that might be kind of cool. So I took this burst of photos of flowers and everything. And only later did I realize, when I went back to look at the pictures, only later did I realize that I had captured in that moment a butterfly and a bee flying into the frame. They came onto the scene and landed on the flowers. I had not seen that. I didn't even see it when it took place. There was a depth in that scene that I had no idea about until I saw the pictures later. And it's like this with Herbert's poetry. Lent, Good Friday, we are meant to reflect on Jesus and his crucifixion, and that is what we do. It's a scene, though, that's all too familiar. We imagine we're taking in a scene, a picture of one thing. It's Jesus on the cross. I know that picture. I've pictured it before. But when we look at it again with Herbert, we see an unexpected depth of that heart-wrenching grand beauty bringing all of Scripture together. Look at stanza 40. Stanza 40, Herbert points to how the soldiers dress Jesus up in a robe, a robe meant to mock him as if he's king. But then Herbert takes that robe, a scarlet robe, a purple robe, and he connects it with the idea that the blood of Jesus is the blood that we truly need to be free. It's what we need to be cleansed from our ills or cleansed from our sin. And so this robe that just is a mocking robe and it's scarlet, we might just say, well, that's, you know, a royal color and that's why the soldiers did it. But Herbert says, no, we can see something even more deeper here. It might not be referenced in Scripture, but if you pause a moment, you start to see there is something beautiful here to be reminded that we need the blood of Jesus. Stanza 41. They put on him the crown of thorns. It's a crown of twisted vine that had thorns on it. It's twisted vine. And from there, Herbert goes back to Isaiah, goes back to God saying, you know, I planted you as my vineyard. I tended to you. I watered you. I cared for you. And all you brought forth were wild grapes, sour grapes. Herbert makes this connection. There's Jesus wearing this twisted vine on his head, and it is this reminder that all that Jerusalem could bring to him, all that any of us can bring to him in our sin, are sour grapes. Herbert keeps going. There's a depth here. 40, stanza 42. again with the crown of thorns. But now, not only is it a crown of twisted vine and making us think of grapes and sour grapes, now we're also reminded it's a crown of thorns. And thorns are only here because Adam fell into sin. And when Adam and Eve sin and God shows up and says, "What have you done?" And they say, we ate from the tree you told us not to. That's when sin and death entered the world and there was a curse. And part of the curse was that now this beautiful world would be a lot more difficult to tend, a lot more difficult to farm. God says, now it will bring forth thorns and briars, and by the sweat of your brow will you work for your bread. And now that sign of the curse of sin, now that sign is on the head of Jesus our Lord. Stanza 43. They give Jesus a reed, a branch, to pretend that this is a kingly scepter, a kingly staff. And Herbert takes that moment where they take back the staff and they strike Jesus on the head with it. And Herbert reminds us how Jesus is the rock, and that Moses had struck the rock in the desert and God had brought forth water to give life to the people. And here they're striking the rock, Jesus, who truly brings forth this blessing of not just water, but a heavenly treasure of life-giving water. Herbert is pointing to this depth and unexpected things that we might not see, but just to help us to see that it all comes together in Christ. Go to stanza 45. And so he draws all this together in this stanza when he says, "I am truth who turns deeds into truth." Herbert is bringing that all together, and he's saying all these things that the soldiers were doing, all these things that were happening to Jesus, all these things that were meant as mocking and humiliation, actually in them is much truth. In them is the truth of our salvation. Of course, in the scene of the crucifixion, you can't see any of this. Kind of like me taking a picture, it just looked like a field. I had no idea what I was capturing. The soldiers had no idea the significance of what was taking place. In the end, it still just looks like Jesus has been thoroughly mocked and humiliated, dressed up in a costume. It looks that way until we reflect on it with Scripture and reflect on it with Herbert, until you realize that there Jesus stands as the divine true king. He's holding a fake scepter, a symbol of the false power of the world. He's got a crown of thorns meant to inflict pain on him, but it's a sign of the original curse for sin. He's got a robe on to pretend that he's royalty, but the red is the color of the blood of death. Jesus set aside true power to accept the curse for us so that his blood death could become our life through his life-giving blood. He is truth who turns our deeds into truth and hope and salvation. He set aside true power. This is no ordinary scene. This is the divine Son of God setting aside true power to take up a sign of false power. He is setting aside his divinity to accept the curse for us. He is setting aside his life to go through blood death in order to give us life. This is no ordinary scene. And there is more here than we sometimes observe when we think of the crucifixion. Give thanks for George Herbert, or for anybody else along the way who has made you to pause and consider again the crucifixion. Herbert's poetry is like a burst shot of photography, so that when we look again, we see how our Savior and salvation entered this scene.